Blog Talk Radio.
Reality Rules.
What up? Reality Rules, episode number 3. The amazing race gets a little more amazing, and Travis Rindler's bringing us live. Make sure you check out that and everything with me and producer Mama F on Reality Rules.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Saturday. We've got a special show for you today. We're going to be talking the amazing race and recapping what happened there on Friday night. And then we've got a very special guest coming in 20 minutes. Travis is going to be on talking about live reality games and what is a live reality game and what that consists of. And of course, as always, we're here with our producer, Mama S. How are you this evening, Mama S?
I'm doing great. The Cubs are doing great, so I'm smiling.
We got you away on a weekend and a week as you're chasing this pennant race. You're chasing a spot in the playoffs. My Astros, they're trying to hang in there, but we're in trouble.
You know, if I think if the Astros and the Cubs were in the same league, I don't think the Cubs would be doing so well. It would be the Astros in their place, so.
We'll see, but I mean, they're taken to them by the Rangers right now. But this is not a MLB podcast, and we don't want our listeners turning off on us because we know most org people maybe don't like baseball necessarily, but we hope you're tuning in. We've got an awesome show for you today. We're going to be recapping briefly what happened in the amazing or not-so-amazing race as we get to the first episode, and we'll talk about the little boring anyways. And then we've got a very special guest, my friend and Mama S's friend, Travis, as he's going to talk about live reality games and what that is. You've been to one, haven't you, Mama S?
Yes, I just recently went to the last one they had in Wisconsin. It was hosted by Rebecca. It was called Pirate Booty Camp. Travis was also there, and it was absolutely amazing. He's going to have so much stuff to talk about. I mean, he could probably fill hours talking about it.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I'm excited to be able to hear that. But let's start today with our Survivor fantasy pool. We started last Friday, or last Wednesday, I'm sorry, our new Survivor contest where we're getting second and third, and we are happy to say that our contest filled. I'm going to turn it over to Mama S and let her tell us who has what player and who we can be watching out for this season. So go ahead and let us know, Mama S.
Okay, for the women, Will Satterwhite has Kelly Wigglesworth. Zach Enos has Kimmy. Jason Stevens has PG. Monica is taken by Clark Wilcox. Abby by BJ Brandon Harris. I think they got a little bit of the same attitude, so I wasn't surprised there. But I love BJ.
I can see it.
Sierra was taken by Joshua Felix. Tasha was taken by Devon Neville. Cass is taken by Peter Berger. Kelly Wigglesworth by Cody James. Shireen was taken by Alex Viver. And for the men, we have Jeff taken by Tyler, our lovely Tyler S. Andrew was taken by Warren. Terry Dietz was taken by Doug. He was our last pick, which I'm actually really surprised. I thought people would pick him right away. Fishback was taken by Amanda Aldrich. From what the sites are saying, it doesn't look good for him, but let's keep our fingers crossed. Wu was taken by Chant. Spencer was taken by Calvin. Keith was taken by Patrick Scarola. Jeremy was taken by Shannon Motherhen. And Joe was taken by Ryan Barker.
Awesome. So good luck to everybody competing. The Terry late pick does not surprise me, and that's because there are some spoiler rumors going around on him on the internet. I don't know if they're accurate. We won't get into that because we're a spoiler-friendly show. But that's why I think Terry, because of the spoilers going on around Terry. But we'll see as the season progresses. So I'm excited. We'll be back on Wednesday night at 9:30, I think is what we said. I'll have to look in that, but check our Facebook to confirm as we recap this Wednesday Survivor episode. And we'll be moving forward to that. But it's funny listening to that draft. You said that Abby and BJ, but there's a lot of people that are very familiar with how they play the game versus how they play in orgs and the picks. So that's interesting to see how that kind of played out. Let's get into the amazing race happening last night. We premiered the amazing race 27 seasons of this, and all first episodes of the amazing race. because the Amazing Race is interesting in the aspect of we don't always see these teams intermingling like we do in Survivor or Big Brother, where they're all on an island or they're all in a house. So for me, you don't get as much screen time and get to know these characters very much in this first episode because there's so many separate segments. So kind of how I want to break down this episode today is we'll talk about the race as a whole, the legs and the competitions, and then we'll talk each pair of contestants and just kind of overview how they did and move forward. So this race started, and you had some winners there. It was cool to see the very first winners of ever at Amazing Race. And, of course, Phil tells them that they're going to Rio, and he says, 1, 2, 3, go. And he lets them know that there's going to be a bike race. He doesn't tell them that it's a water bike race. And the first person there gets on the very first flight, and that's 30 minutes ahead of everybody else. So they arrive to Rio, and that happens. They have to pay attention on the helicopter ride. There's going to be one question asked for them. And then they get to go to the detour, which was two tasks. One was volleyball, where they competed with their hands. So Rio's known for soccer, so the people they were playing against only played with their feet. And then, or they had the choice of the, which was the slider puzzle with the matching the side of the sidewalk, and then they finally got to go to the pit stop. Overall, I thought it was a very entertaining leg. I loved the soccer challenge on the volleyball court. I thought that was really, really cool and interesting to see them and what they did. And then I also enjoyed the slider puzzle because as an org player, that's something that we play on a daily basis. So as I'm seeing them struggle with this slider puzzle, I'm able to see what we, and I'm like, oh, I could have done this. Oh, because of the experience that I have in that. So that was
bitching about it. I'm like, no, it's slider puzzle. What's wrong with them?
I know that it was like, why couldn't you figure this out? I'm like, this is something I would have dominated in.
Oh, see, I would have totally lost. Sliders are still the one thing in org world I just can't get a hang on.
I'll train you. We'll work on that. So beginning I have on this list, Alex and Adam. These are the cousins that have the dwarfism is what they specifically said. And so this was very funny to me. They were my entertainment value of the situation. And it's not because they were dwarfs or anything, but he was just in the helicopter. He was freaking out. He was scared to death. And that was just funny to watch. He wasn't the only one, of course. But then when we had the volleyball competition, I just thought it was funny that these two shorter people chose to do the volleyball competition. They struggle with, but they didn't. They're very, very agile. They're very quick. They have the heart and the determination. And I don't know about you, Mama S, but I think these cousins, I think they're my sleepers.
Yeah, you know what? That might possibly be true.
They were very, very interesting to watch. Okay, then we go to Cindy and Rick. These were the doctors. He was a doctor, and she was also a doctor in that aspect. And they got a little bit of screen time. Here's what I found about the most interesting about them. When we got to the slider puzzle, he was very controlling. Very how it is, wanting to take over, wanting to do things, and very, very controlling. And she was just kind of like, okay, I'll let you do it, I'll let you do it, I'll let you do it. But I thought she was doing just as good as he was. We're also on the chat here if you want to let us know what you think about these Amazing Race characters. 805-285-9730. But did you get that from him, that he was just very demanding, very taking over, very on top of things and not letting her have much aspect?
Yeah, but I see that a lot in certain couples when they go on the show. I don't know if they're like that in real life. I don't know if it's a TV thing where they're like, because he seemed a little bit too cocky for me, because, I mean, if I was her, I would have been like, excuse me.
Oh, absolutely. But she kind of let it go. But, you know, I mean, they are, and I don't want to bring up culture too much, but that's kind of the culture for them. That's kind of the aspect. Denise and James. This was an interesting couple for me. It's a mom and dad team, a mom and son team. And they say from the very beginning that they haven't had the best of relationships because when he came out of the closet, this was something that she struggled with and kind of pushed him to the side on for a while. But they're slow. to me, I kind of got this as maybe something that was a little bit of an argument, but I think that they're kind of playing that more of their story to try to help get on the show. I didn't get the hostility between them very much as they were playing. I don't know. What do you think about that couple and the mom and son there?
I'm with you. I think they're going to play it to their benefit because, I mean, if she's there with him, obviously she's supporting him. If there are issues, she would not have gone on live TV and said, hey, my son is gay. I mean, maybe it was hard for her to accept originally, but I don't think it's as big as a deal as they made it out to be. They seem very close. They seem very workable together. If there was something, you would see when children and their parents don't get along as adults, you see that tension between them.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't see, kind of like Dick and Danny and Big Brother.
Exactly.
But I also am going to give them an early boot. I don't think they make it very far. Maybe competitors down the stretch. That brings us to Ernest and Jen. These are the dancers, and he says that he's homeless. And in that aspect, they didn't get a whole lot of TV time. They didn't get a whole lot of screen time this week. But to me, they were very, very weak team. They didn't challenge enough into these kind of things. They struggled with the question in the helicopter. They struggled with many different things. I just don't see them lasting long. I see them probably going within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, I would
that
agree.
I just wasn't very I'm going to turn my gain mic down. I wasn't very impressed. I just don't see them lasting very, very long in this race. Then we have Jasmine and Danielle. These are the best friends. They, again, not a lot of screen time there, not a lot of aspect for them, but they finished well in the race. I think they ended up in second. They dominated the option and were able to propel themselves into this. That brings us to Justin and Diana. Now, this was obviously the most interesting person in this episode. Justin and Diana are an engaged couple, and he had an amazing race proposal. He specifically around the amazing race and was able to do that to propel himself into the game. They were doing their lifelong dream, and they were continuing this race. And they started out to an early start. They were the first people to check in and get the 30-minute flight, four caught up to them, and they get the fast forward. They decide they're going to go for it, get all the way to going for it, and when he can't get it because of the weather, he gets really, really, really upset. And this is what I love about this couple. With the amazing race, it comes down to how much passion you have for the game. This guy loves what he's doing. He wants to be here. He loves to be here. He was so upset by a decision that he made. And that's why I enjoyed watching him. What did you think about the engaged couple?
I thought they were kind of blah. Not really my favorite going in, but they're cute. I really don't have much to say about them. I don't really think they come out, stand out. There was nothing really like, oh, wow, look at this. I mean, I don't really think they're going to be far along either.
See, I see them going to like final six, final five. Just because of the drive and the want that he has. But then we'll go to Kelsey and Joey. These are the news anchors. There's really not a whole lot to say about these two. They didn't have much TV time at all. They placed in the middle of the pack, and they just kind of hung in there. So I'll be hoping that some more stuff happens between them and we can really get to see some more from them. In the episode, we didn't see a whole lot. Then we go to Logan and Chris, who's our paparazzi couple. I like Logan and Chris. They didn't get a whole lot of screen time either, but just this theory of them being paparazzis, and he's over the helicopter, and he's talking about how this does it. And she's like, yeah, but I don't. The cool thing about the Amazing Race is they sometimes bring in these odd jobs and these odd occupations into the game, and we get to see them. And I enjoyed the paparazzi couple. What did you think?
I like them. I mean, as it is, I like watching the couples on the show. Frank and I will always compare ourselves to them. We'd be like, oh, no, that would be us. And we would be like, F you, and calling each other names. So it's interesting to see how these couples, I mean, cause, you know, you've been married for a while. Sometimes you say things just because you're so used to that person. I just like watching it come across on TV because we're like, no, you guys ain't that polite to each other. Don't fake it off. Come on. Say what you want.
We were on the race together. We wouldn't. It's not that I'm afraid our marriage wouldn't survive the race. I don't think I would survive the race because she would like have pushed me out of the helicopter, or something like that. And then that brings us to Tanner and Josh, team. Obviously the muscle heads, obviously the eye candy of the season that CVS brings in to be able to carry this out. Let's talk about Team Texas a little bit. They finished first in the race. They did get the express pass. But my favorite part of Team Texas is when they're on these water bikes. Texas is out to a great start, and I think they would have dominated the entire race had it not been for this water bike that just breaks. They're going on, and they're going, and everybody starts saying, oh, they were too strong. They had too much muscle. They weren't able to carry it out. And this bike just breaks on them. They have their muscles, but they're smart, and they were able to fix it and put it together and make it work and make up the ground that they missed. I think these people are going to be favored early on. I think they're going to do really well in the long term of the game, and I think Team Texas is going to be a team to watch out for. I think that if they get some intelligence a little bit, but we've seen that even if they struggle, they're able to overcome it and move forward. Then we go to Tiffany and Krista, who are our NFL team. We're going to kind of rush through these last two because Travis will be on in about 4 minutes. But Tiffany and Krista, our NFL team, I did not like the cheerleaders, Mama S. They were too emotional, too crybaby. They got on my nerves. I don't think they'll last maybe a week or two more. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're pretty much gaps. Not much there for me after that, other than that. What did you think about Team Texas, our team cheerleaders?
I agree the same. I when I turn it on, I mean, I get people get over emotional and get a little whiny, but for goodness sake, it was the first episode. Save it till later when you're down to like final five or the last six teams and you have a reason to cry. I just, when it's
if they're struggling this much for leg one, they're not going to have anything much after that. And then it brings us to our eliminated team this week, Kelly and Siobhan. And TMZ, I will see some TMZ people on there. I was so pumped to see that and see how they do in this race going forward. Very sad to see them go early. They just couldn't get the slider puzzle. But I loved at the end when they're just talking about how they're going to get nailed in their newsroom next week and how they're going to get made fun of. And I'll see them play a little more. But unfortunately, it just wasn't on the side. So overall, what did you think of this episode, Mama S?
You know, I'll be honest with you. The past couple of seasons of Amazing Race, I've just kind of been like, "And with it." I don't know if it's just getting old for me in my head, or we tend to see this, or how people are playing. I mean, it was good. I liked the cast, but I don't know. I just feel like something's missing out of this season.
Well, see, I liked last season how they brought up the blind date. They gave us a different aspect of the game, and I feel like this season it's just back to the regular thing. They've got to continue to spice it up some way or another.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I'm glad they didn't bring another team from a different reality show. Like, I mean, I know people were happy when Jeff and Jordan got to do it, or somewhat with Brace. I just leave them to their own reality show. Start crossing it off. There's more than enough people applying for this crap. Let's get new people in there.
Oh, but you know Austin and Liz or Clay are going to be in the next two seasons of The Amazing Race. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I know that.
Clay and Shelley or Austin and Liz. I don't think Austin and Liz, because I don't think their relationship's going to make it long enough to be on The Amazing Race. But I Clay and Shelley, I see it coming. And they're going to be one of the couples in The Amazing Race. They're going to be coming up. They're going to be doing that. It's going to be an interesting episode. We'll be back next Saturday to recap The Amazing Race again and have another guest on next Saturday night. I don't know if the Cubs are playing or not, so I don't know if Susan will be here, but if they're not playing, she'll be here with us as we get closer to playoffs. We've got to play around. Absolutely. We got to make sure the Cubs rank a little higher than the Amazing Race. If it was Big Brother or Survivor, she might switch her schedule around. All right, coming at you, we got two commercials, and then when we come back, we've got Travis here, and we're going to be talking and diving long-term games. Two commercials coming up for the first one we've got coming up is for Big Bro Vival. The commercial will say applications are coming. He actually opened the applications this week. Make sure you go to Big Bro Vival to look at more details. But let's listen to a little more about Alex and his upcoming game, Big Bro Vival. from the host that brought you Survival of the Fittest and Dehydration, Big Brovival is back. Big Brovival 3, Blood versus Water. Now, this may be a common twist for Survivor games, but if you experience the level of gameplay in Big Brother, now you get the chance. Big Brovival's next season will focus on everything blood versus water. You have to apply with a partner. Now, this partner can be either a real-life connection or just your best org friend. But you will be playing the game together. Applications open October 2nd, with the game starting early November. Contact Alex Viber on Facebook for more information or follow the official Big Brovival Facebook page. Big Brovival 3, Blood versus Water. All right. Big Brovival 3. Now, here's the thing. We want to have a team reality rules. Unfortunately, I can't play because I'm going to be out of the country, so I'm not going to be able to play. But Mama S wants to play Big Brovival 3, and she needs a partner. Mama S, tell people if you want them to apply with you, so you're looking for a partner, and they can message you.
Yes, they can message me. Most of the orgers know I'm kind of crazy and kind of bitchy, so there'd be no surprise with me coming in. But they also know I'm a fighter and I'm really good at comps, so let's get those messages going.
Mama S needs a partner. But we now have her with Travis, are you there?
Yes.
Awesome. What's going on, Travis? How are you tonight?
I'm excellent. Excited to be here.
Good. Yeah, so we're going to be talking about live games, but how about before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from, and how you fit into this crazy reality TV show community.
Okay, well, my name's Travis Rindler, and I am from Dayton, Ohio, but I've lived all around and played orgs and live reality games all around the country. I've actually been playing almost 12 years now. I started way back when it was on AIM, and Instant Messenger. So I've definitely seen it evolve, and now we're getting to a point where there are going to be a lot more of these live reality games taking place.
That's awesome. So just a little bit more. What is a live reality game? How does this work?
Well, for people who are familiar with online reality games, they're very similar. The same basic concept, but you are meeting face-to-face. It takes like a Skype game to the next level, and you're interacting in person, and usually they are camping-based, where you will spend the weekend together, you know, at a state park or someone's property, and play games over a course of, you know, 2 or 3 days, sometimes as long as 6 days. And it follows the same format as the games that you're most familiar with online. Everything's the same, but you actually are physically doing it. And, you know, when you lie to people, you have to lie to their face. You can't put up an away message saying you're going to make dinner or something, you know. So it's a different kind of experience. But it really tests your ability to play the game that so many people love.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, when did these start? I mean, I know orgs have been around for forever. I know that there were some live games that were done by celebrities. There was a Survivor Houston that did it a while. But when did these live reality games really kind of start picking up and picking pace?
Well, I would say within the last few years is when they're really starting to pick up. People, you know, feel a little more comfortable with doing them and have some knowledge of what they are. I think it's a little bit of a risk sometimes, people in their own mind thinking that they're going to go and meet a bunch of strangers and do this event and it's going to be safe and fun. Now that people have seen that it is and it's happening all over, I think it's starting to bloom. But the first game that I ever hosted was 10 years ago. And, you know, they've just been happening in little pockets all over the country. And I think now through social media and Facebook groups in podcasts like this, people are able to network and show their videos on YouTube.
Absolutely.
And get people to, you know, share in the experience.
We got a caller. Let's bring him in and see what they've got to say. What's
okay.
going on? You're on the air with Reality Rules. Who are we talking to?
Hey, this is Dan Lucier.
Hi, Dan.
What's going on? How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. What's going on?
Oh, it's me, Daniel. I didn't realize you were talking to me for a second.
Yeah, it's your
yeah.
It's actually
I'm the man in person, right here in the flesh.
Dan, you got a question for Travis?
Yes, I actually did have a question for Travis. I wanted to know if he had any parenting advice.
Any parenting advice? I don't. I'm not a parent myself. But I've worked with children in many aspects before, and I think the best thing to do as a parent is just be a good role model.
Or beat them.
Or beat them.
Hey, Dan,
this
thanks
is
for calling.
A good role model for him.
We got
that
another caller. I should have brought you on longer. I've never had this many callers.
Well, that's great.
Hey, you're on the air with Reality Rule.
Hi. Andrew?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, it's Katie Overby. I wanted to talk about live reality games with you guys and Travis.
Absolutely, Katie. Now, have you played in one before?
I actually played in Travis's, but I'm with Corey Altieri, who has won two of them, and Cody James, who has also come in third in a game.
How do you let him win two?
What?
I know. I've asked myself that.
How do you let
times.
Him win two of them? Why don't you vote him out?
Oh, I'm sloppy. I didn't know what I was expecting when I went into this.
Well, that's awesome. Okay, well, we'll keep you on for here in a little bit, but let's move back on, Travis. So you've hosted these and played them. What kind of prep goes into these games from a host perspective?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked that because it's a lot of work. It's similar to, like, putting together, like, I don't know, kind of like a play in some ways. You get it all set up and everything's organized, but you don't really know how it's all going to play out until you get your cast there. So there's a lot that goes into planning the challenges and getting the format, finding a location, but then the casting's really crucial too. It's, you know, for anyone that hosts an online game, I'm not saying that you can't do it, but I do really encourage that you really think about all the factors that go into it because it is fast-paced, and once it starts, you know, it doesn't really stop until the game's over. So,
right. Hey, Travis, do you have our show up in the background there? We're hearing some real bad feedback coming from you.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm just here on my phone.
Huh. Okay, I'm just hearing some bad feedback. It's okay. We'll continue. Oh, it'll be fine. We'll just keep going. Let's continue on here. Now, what are the costs or the fees or the prizes that usually take place? I know it's going to vary from game to game, but what does it happen from?
Well, I think that, you know, you contact the host and it's going to be different in each regard. Most hosts, like, will kind of charge, like, a nominal fee to cover maybe either camping costs or food for the weekend or supplies like the buffs and other things like that. That could be anywhere from like $20, $40, $60. There's the Durham Warrior Project, which is put on by Bob Crawley, and that is a little bit more expensive. It goes towards a nonprofit, and that is $300 entry. But beyond that, like, it just varies, and the prizes, some of them is just the satisfaction of winning. Others do have monetary prizes. I've seen much as like $300 to $500.
Absolutely. So that's cool. So, I mean, there is a chance, but of course it's the pride and it's also the experience of the things. I mean, you meet so many people. I know that you have played and it wasn't you, it was Susan that had the feedback. We've got her muted right now. So if you want to ask something to her, I'll bring her back on.
Okay.
But you even had people at your house yesterday celebrating somebody's birthday that you've met in these kind of games. I mean, this doesn't just last in the game system. It takes it further than that.
Yeah, it's really an amazing experience. I think one thing that people sometimes forget playing online is that these are real people, and you can see, like, a person's photo and stuff, and you get, like, a snapshot of who they are, and you talk to them in a, you know, a few chat rooms and this and that, but a lot of things can be lost in translation through, you know, text messages and emoticons and things like that. So, you know, being able to really interact with a person and sleep side by side with them in the rain and, you know, do grueling challenges and go through that same sort of experience, it's something that, like, bonds you together. Like, it's hard to go back to work and talk to people who can't even begin to grasp what it is you voluntarily did over the weekend. But when you have these people who shared in that experience with you, it bonds you, you know, for a long time to come. And, you know, I've known people who've gotten married through these. I've known relationships that have developed, you know.
Showmances.
All kinds of different, definitely things like that can develop through this experience because it is so intense. You get to know a person really well. You get to see them at their high highs and their low lows all in a really short period of time.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about that. Is the cast of these games, is it very repetitive? Like, do you see the same people over and over again? I mean, I know in the org world, we get pre-made alliances very, very often. Is that a problem that you have in these live games? I mean, talk same people in a sense. Do you have pre-made alliances? Is it usually if you're a new person in a game, you're one of the first to go? How does that correspond into live games?
Well, once again, I think every host tries to address that in their own manner. Some people are hosting series and are on their fifth and sixth seasons, and it's really important for them to have all new people each time, and eight guys and eight girls, and that's their focus. Some seasons are not even with gender, just like they are in the org world, and that, you know, can still be an amazing season. It's just a matter of who is applying and who can make the event an experience. And it's really something that you craft as a host. But I think there is a little bit of repetition because people, once they try it, they want to do it again. And now that these games are starting to network, you can start to get a little bit more variety in there. But most people at this stage in the game are just trying to find a game to play at all. They're just learning about this stuff, really. And that's what's so exciting, is it really is starting to blow up here in the last year.
Now, are most of these games Survivor-based, Big Brother-based, original stuff?
Yeah. I would say a vast majority of them are Survivor or Survivor-based, although I have seen, you know, Mike Barr hosted some mobile games. I know that there has been up in Michigan, there is a series called Cocopelli, which is based on Survivor. They also did another series called Gold Rush, which is a completely new format all on its own. And I know of out in Brooklyn, there's a series that is a Big Brother based. And people create their own formats all the time. My game, Darwin, I attempted to create its own format, but, I mean, when you step back away from it, you're going to look at it and say, like, well, that's a lot like Survivor. But, you know, everyone tries to create their own appeal. I just was a part of Pirate Booty Camp this last summer up in Wisconsin, and it was basically Survivor, but it was pirate-themed, and a lot of the challenges centered around that, and we took a little twist on, you know, tribal council was a brother in court and you had a pardon instead of immunity and things like that. Just the same sort of thing you experience in the org world where people try to make, take a format and make it their own.
So we got a question coming in the chat here. In these games, I mean, in a regular game, you get voted out and you're put off of the premises for a while. What happens in a live reality game when you get voted out of a game?
Well, I think that varies too. Generally speaking, one of two things will happen. You will either, you're generally removed from the experience. But you're either maybe sequestered and made to be part of, you know, the jury and can sit in on tribal councils, or maybe even potentially watch challenges, but, you know, removed in terms of any game contact. And then there are other times where people have even had the opportunity to help with camera work and things like that. Once again, it comes down to the discretion of the host and what it is that they're trying to pull off. But most of the time, there are activities and things to be involved in. You know, and I've known quite a few games where it's designed for people to maybe have a chance to get back in the game by finding, you know, a ghost idol or, you know, doing a challenge to earn their way back in or something. So it kind of keeps their interest throughout the weekend.
Right, but most hosts aren't going to travel you all the way across the country and get you there. And then if you're voted out first, you just kind of have nothing to do for the week. You're going to be involved in some format or some fashion. They're going to have something for you to do.
Exactly. And a lot of hosts take that into consideration. And most of the games I've seen try to create a format where no one's eliminated in the first, you know, 15 minutes, 45 minutes. A lot of games will have several challenges before anyone's eliminated, or even maybe have a whole day before anyone would be eliminated, to really kind of give people a chance to develop bonds and get a good read on each other rather than, you know, make snap judgments. But it's, once again, that's the host choice. I've seen games where they do right off the bat make decisions and have to outcast people right from the beginning. So it's all over the board, but generally speaking, it's about having fun. You know, you're not winning $1 million. So if someone's going to travel, they want to make sure that they're enjoying the experience. And it's meant to simulate the game, but it's not meant to be the exact thing. So, you know, we don't want people to, you know, go home shivering from like the flu and stuff like that. It will push your limit, but hopefully it's still just
you're
enjoyable.
Not going to starve them for 6 days.
Perfect. Yeah, there might be a little bit of starvation there, you know, a little bit of deprivation, but it's enough that it's like, you know, to simulate the experience, not enough to like make people miserable.
We got to take this time to give a quick shout out. Everybody from a game you're in, Mama S is hosting, Big Brother Bowl is listening. Huge shout out to them. Thanks for your support tonight. You were HOH this week in that game, so congrats on that. We won't
get into
it too much. But good luck.
Yeah,
a couple more questions.
Everyone supported me, so it was great. It was a great round.
You were a very diplomatic HOH. Oh, you won veto also, I'm being told. You had a very powerful week.
Yeah, that's me. I'm just powerful.
Oh, and I know that. But the first episode, the first live Survivor game I ever watched, you got voted out first of Survivor Real Foot Lake.
Oh, yes. Isn't that tragic? And that's the thing people need to remember when they sign up for these things, is that someone's got to go. So you got to go in with the mentality that, like, it's going to be a fun experience no matter what place you get, but every single person is getting voted out except one, you know? So you have to really get to that point mentally where you're like, okay with it, because you're really going to ruin the experience for yourself if you come in with expectations that, you know, people can't live up to. Yeah, we all want to win, but only one person.
Like the real game. I mean, people go through this whole casting process, people, and somebody has to go first.
It's true. And it's a total bummer. I mean, I wanted to be out there. I loved the experience, and I enjoyed every bit of it while I was there. But, you know, it makes the experience as great as it is to have people get voted out, because that's what you're all there for. And I don't know, I think it's like a really neat and humbling experience, because I consider myself to be, you know, a very learned player of the game. But it just goes to show you that anything can happen. Anyone can win. Anyone can go first. And that's why I think people still play these games time and time again, is the fact that it is a little unpredictable.
So give me your favorite experience ever in a live reality game. What's the one moment that stands out the most that you'll never forget?
Wow. I guess probably this last one I was in was really cool. We had an auction, at the final 10, and the last item was hidden, and when the player successfully bidded on it, we blew a whistle, and out ran Kathy Sleckman from Survivor Fans versus Favorite. She was so gracious and came to be a reward for the game. And basically, they got to eat dinner with her, talk a little strategy. She had a secret title clue that she gave out. And it was just really neat to have someone who had been on the real show, experienced the real thing, come and talk to people who are so passionate about it. I mean, it was just like you could hear a pin drop. Everyone was so obsessed to see her, and I think that's one of those memorable experiences where you're just like, they are just human beings. Like when you met her in person, it's just very, you know, normal. She's not the most normal person in the world. I love her to death, but you know, it's
almost like a conference or a convention in a way.
In some ways,
You go, but you learn, too. I mean, and I'm sure the more you play, you get just like orgs or anything that you do. The more you play, the better you get. All right, so give us a second. Tell us if people are interested in finding out more or want to play some of these games, what can they do to find out more information?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I'm a great resource. I'm always trying to network people. I'm constantly meeting hosts. I've got a list of probably 15 to 20 different hosts who have done a game in the last 5 years or are hoping to do some here in the future. There's also a Facebook group that was recently started called Live Reality Games. And if you want access to that, just message me and we can get you into that group and you can get access to when games are going. You can see episodes of games that are being released right now. There's one from Survivor Washington that Hunter Matthews is doing right now that's really good. There's lots of ways to get connected, but feel free to just reach out. And then there's
all Travis,
over the
country. TravisRindler. Look for him on Facebook. Travis, we have one game that we play with everybody that comes on our show.
It's the 60-second hot seat.
Okay.
Fucking hot seat. This is how it works. I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock. I have 10 random words of names of celebrities or just random items. Here's what you're going to do.
Okay.
You're going to give me the first word that pops into your head when I say these things.
Okay, great. I hope, is this like PG stuff?
It's pretty PG.
All right, great.
PG.
Let's give
Here we
it a go.
Go. 60 seconds on the clock starting now. Number one, Donald Trump.
You're fired.
NFL.
Football.
Clowns.
What was the word?
Clowns.
Pound?
Clowns, like a big red nose and fluffy hair and makeup
in
a circus.
Clown bozo.
What about Steve Moses?
Steve Moses. I don't know. Nothing.
That's the winner of Big Brother
there.
17. What about Vitus?
Poor thing. Skeezy.
Audrey Middleton.
Tragic.
Beer.
Delicious.
Andrew Gibson.
Bodacious.
I'll take it. We got one more caller. Let's take him on, and then we'll let you go. What's going on? You're on with Reality Rules.
Hey, I'm Corey Altieri. I was a player in Travis's game. I'm just calling in to say he hosts one hell of a game.
You're the
and
one
I'm,
that's won twice, right?
Twice, yes. I won twice.
I'm still recounting these votes, though. I'm not sure about it.
So what's the secret to winning, Corey?
The secret is stop playing online games. Come out and play. If you play online games, come out and play. Come to Wisconsin. Come to Ohio. Come out here and play a real-life game because it's so different than an online game. He's already explained it, but it's – I don't know. I don't know how I won, honestly.
The key is also you got to
sleeping outside. Sleeping outside. You know, you're limited with food, and it's almost like the show, but you don't have 39 days. You have maybe four, three, or two.
Yeah, it's a lot more fast-paced, so you've got to make your decisions. You can't be watching. You've got to, like, move fast. You got to be strategic, and you got to be bold. It's not like an online game where you can sit and be inactive for 3 months and then decide to start playing the game towards the end. You've got to make moves from the beginning.
And Corey, that's my thing.
I have an anonymous question for Corey that just came into my chat. It said, Corey did not deserve to win the last one. Ask him about Final Tribal Council.
All right. Final Tribal Council. Yeah. See, the thing is, you play a whole game, you know. You're with people for, I was, four or five-day game, you know, and you bond with people. People see how you play the game. It's not a 39-day game like the real show, you know. But still, 4 days, I'm out there making bonds with people. People see how I play. I get down to Final Tribal, you know, and people try to tear you up. That's what they do. I'm not the best speaker in the world.
To Corey's defense, on some level, I think, you know, the Final Tribal Council wasn't his best efforts of the game, but what it comes down to is he got the votes, you know, and Jeff Probst says it time and time again. You can talk about, you know, who's better or who should have won or this or that, but one person did win, and that's the reality of the situation. Could we replay it? Could something have absolutely happened differently if someone had said something differently at that Final Tribal Council? I think so. It was a 4-3 vote. So it was close. And that's what's so fun about him is that, did I think Corey was necessarily going to win? No. But did Corey deserve the win? I think so.
And, you know, it doesn't matter who wins. People are going to bitch and moan.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, somebody's always rooting for somebody. And
true.
So the same
that's
people,
the thing.
I mean, take
so,
go ahead, Corey.
No, I was going to say, like, I get to the end, I've won twice. I don't know how I won once, to be honest with you, but it's, I don't know. The challenges are real. You get to the end, you have to be a big time social speaker. You know, I'm not much of a social speaker, but you get to the end, you're kind of trying to explain yourself to these people who you either voted out or maybe help vote it out, or either way, you know, they're there because of you. But it's just different when it's in real time. It's real life. It's you're looking at them in the face, and they're asking you questions about how you played the game, and it's just so different.
You see people's real character. It's a lot harder to be as deceptive as you can be online.
Absolutely. So if y'all want more information about these, you can find Corey. You can find Travis. Hey, Corey, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. We can find more information about these online. Message Travis. What's coming up this summer, Travis? Anything you know of right now that people could kind of get in their teeth wet on?
Definitely. I know that there's going to be the third season of Survivor Real Foot. Amos Smith is putting on a great game, excellent episodes. I'm going to be helping with production with that. I know there's also another season of Pirate Booty Camp coming our way. I know of whisperings of lots of other games. I'm possibly hosting a game out in Colorado that's in the works right now. But yeah, a good at least 4 or 5 games that I'm aware of and more to come. So please be in touch and we'll
awesome.
Get you
so
guys specific details.
I need to get my butt out of Texas so I can get in there and play one of those. There's also a poll that we put on our Facebook page that says, would you play one of these games? Susan put it up in there. So make sure you answer our poll. If you're having trouble finding Travis, he is a member of our group, and he will be Travis Reinler. Hey, Travis, thanks for having us. Thanks for coming on. Hopefully we can have you on again soon.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Buddy.
Bye.
All right. So that's Travis. Again, live reality games. It's just another format and another version that these games are held in, and they're taken through phase. We're going to try to bring Susan back on to wrap this up and see if she can not have background noise. You there, Susan?
I'm here. Is that better?
Oh, that's better. I don't hear it anymore.
You know what? I had my Bluetooth thing on my ear. I think it's just the reception of that. I'll have to use the better one or the phone next time.
We'll figure it out. That's good. So that was a great interview with Travis. Susan's been out and you didn't play, you just spectated, right?
Yeah, I just went out and watched just to meet everybody and see what it was about, and again, it was great.
So it's just another format.
I highly suggest people, if they get a chance, to do it.
Yeah, as Corey said, I mean, it's so much different than online games, but that's just another thing you can see, that these games are just more than what you watch on TV. There are many facets. There are many different fashions. That's what we try to bring through with Reality Rules, just to show you that this is an obsession that goes beyond that. So what we got coming up this week for us, we have our Survivor recap episode on Wednesday. We also have the Org Award nominations came out yesterday, so we're going to be looking at doing a show focusing on the Org Awards and the Org nominations. If you're nominated for something, reach out to me. We'd love for you to come on and plead your to why you should win. Of course, go Cubs, and we'll keep watching them and other things. Cheer on your Reality Pool person this week, and we'll be back with you Wednesday. Susan, thanks for, as always, for all your help. Make sure you answer her poll that she has there. And if you need anything, have any questions, you got something in Reality that you'd love to come on and talk to me, or message Susan at Susan Camosa. You can find her on there. And also, I'm being told that, Susan, nobody has still messaged you as a partner in Big Brovival. So please message Susan, partner. She needs somebody in Big Brovival. She said she has one person, but she wants options because Susan wants to win. So make sure you message Susan. Give her the chance to be her partner in Big Brovival and be Team Reality Rules. Thanks, everybody. As always, we have spoken, and we will catch you Wednesday as we recap Survivor. Thanks. Have a great week, and stay real.